Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Podcast number 61. Tonight we're going to have a PM Job Shop call. I wanted to give you a quick introduction to our group because I know there's several people on the phone this evening and probably listening into the podcast that are wondering, what is PM Lessons Learned and how did it get started? Well, we started about almost 3 years ago now in 2006, and this was started by a group of project managers, and it's all run by volunteers, and it's all about project managers helping project managers. And currently we have 3 calls per month. Every month we have 3 calls. The first Thursday is our PMP exam study group call. The second Thursday is our PM Job Shop call, which is this call. This call is all about networking, talking about career information for project managers. And then on the third Thursday every month, we have a PM Best Practice call, or a PM Lessons Learned call. That's the call that started it all, and the idea behind that call is project managers sharing their lessons learned and best practices to help each other out. So that's what our group is about. We have several other things that we're working on. We had a board meeting at the beginning of this year of all the people that started the group and have been involved in the group, and we're thinking about a few different things. We're trying to make the group scalable. We're looking for more volunteers. You can, if you're interested, you can contact us via the link on our website at pmlessonslearned.com. You'll see on the left-hand side we have links there of archives of our past calls. You can download those for free. Everything we do is for free because we're all volunteers. We also have information there to join our LinkedIn group and also our Yahoo group. So I would suggest joining our Yahoo group. There's 2 of them. There's one for PM Lessons Learned, which is the overarching group, if you want to call it that. And then there's also one for the PM Job Shop group, this group. You can join both of those. You'll get information about the group. If you join the PM Job Shop link, Yahoo group, you'll get information about job openings and as such. We also have groups within LinkedIn that we started where we share jobs with each other and questions about project management. Please look us up. And the other thing that we're trying to do this year is we're trying to scale to having more volunteers involved with our podcasting. So if you want to join in on that fun and volunteer for that, you can contact us via the Contact Us link on the website. And one other thing that we're thinking about doing is we're thinking about moving our PMP exam study group, which is a once a month call that's podcasted, into actually a virtual PMP study group that will meet on a weekly basis. There may be several of these groups formed. We need a few people to volunteer to be leaders of those groups just to schedule when the calls are going to be and what the topics are that are going to be covered. And then we, of course, need people that will be willing to participate in those groups. And everybody that does will have to make a commitment to study for the PMP exam because that's the goal of that group, is to get your PMP. And also, part of that commitment would be to, when it comes to your turn, you'd have to do a presentation on one of the PM topics, which would probably come from the guide to the PMBOK, which is the Project Management Body of Knowledge, which is the body of knowledge that's used by PMI for the material for the PMP exam. If you have any questions, feel free to email us again. Use the Contact Us link on our homepage. And with that, I want to just get into the call. I don't want to delay us any further. Mike Krepta and Scott Percival have been running this call now for quite some time, and they've made it a very successful call. We've had many people listening into the podcast. We've had many people calling into these calls. They've had some great subjects that are very timely with the economy being the way it is. There's a lot of people looking for career help, and these guys have come up with some great speakers. I'm excited about the ones this evening because I'm not going to I'm not going to take away any of the thunder from these guys, but one of them is somebody that I met before we even started this group, and she's been very instrumental in helping out a lot of our members at PM Lessons Learned. So I'm going to turn it over to Mike and Scott with a little bit of kudos to them and a lot of kudos to them for all that they've done volunteering for this group and making PM Job Shop to be a great bunch of information for a lot of people and a big help for those that want help with their careers. Take it away, guys.
Okay, Kim. Okay, well, I think one of the reasons I was very excited about talking to this group is that in the last few months, I've spoken with a lot of people who are somewhere between worried, angry, and frustrated because they're not getting the results that they wanted out of their job search. And Henry, Mike, and Scott felt that maybe, you know, this group was having some of the same experiences, and so I might offer a little bit outside perspective on different ways to approach this. You know, I think it's very understandable in the current climate that people are becoming angry and frustrated, but from what I feel and see and hear, a lot of times the problem isn't so much the tight market, it's unrealistic expectations of the effort reward ratio in the job search. Now, some of the things that I might say in the next few minutes, you may disagree with, and I know you've got that like key on the phone where you can key out so no one hears you, but I'd really prefer if you yell directly at me. So feel free to jump in at any time. I really prefer an open dialogue, and as long as we can agree to disagree at certain points, I'd much prefer to talk to you than to talk to silence. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I spoke with a woman this morning who was all upset because she'd posted her resume on Dice a few days ago and hadn't heard from anybody. And then last week, I got a call from a friend who's a director of AppDev who asked me to help him rework his resume because he was all upset. He'd applied to like 10 or 12 online ads and had gotten no response. Now, does anyone like want to take a guess on why these two situations made me pause a bit?
I guess it's going to be that you got to do some networking, talk to people directly, look people up online, all out. You can't just put your resume on a website and expect people to call you because there's millions of resumes out there to get picked from.
Bingo. I mean, I try to advise people like this with some sensitivity, and Maggie can tell you sensitivity is not the word they put right after my name. But, you know, I can't help it. In my head, I'm thinking when I'm talking to these two people, I'm thinking you guys are nuts. There is no way you can judge the effectiveness of your job search by just posting a resume on a job board or answering a few online postings.
I mean, if I can throw something in here for you, Kim, there's another group I belong to called the ETP Network, called Empowering Today's People. And if you go to that website, you'll get, and you join, basically, they give you a process for basically managing your job search, which is much more effective, finding the people who are the decision makers, making sure that you reach out to them. When you see a job on a website, apply to it. Look up who belongs to that organization, and then you can connect with them directly. And lots of advice on how to do that more effectively.
Then you are more in the know than the hundreds of people that we are talking to during the course of every day right now at Vega Consulting Solutions, because this is not common knowledge. Here's a fact. If you are blindly responding to online ads, do not expect more than a 1 to 2% response. So if you blindly respond to 100 ads, you're not going to get much back. So when my friend called me and said, I need to help him rework his resume because he'd applied to 10 to 12 ads, I mean, forget it. That's not going to happen. his resume might be perfectly good. What he's doing, what his job search strategy is, that's where we have a disconnect. So you don't need to tell me that we're in tough times and there's a lot of competition out there. But all that means is the job search process that worked for you in the past is not going to be as effective right now. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you, your paper, your skills. That's not what it is. All you need to do is look at changing the way you approach your search. So here we go, right? Here's Kim's rules for an effective job search in 2009. Maggie, stop barfing into your drink. First, you absolutely must network. Second, you absolutely must find unadvertised openings. You absolutely must get in touch with recruiters, and you absolutely must get to decision makers in hiring companies. You find ways to implement that strategy, and you will be successful in your job search. So those are the things I wanted to talk to you guys about, because I love project management. Project management is our niche market, and I love what I do. And you guys have the ability to do great things if you just tweak the way you're handling your job search. Okay? So, for the most part, implementing those four steps comes through the use of online networks for research and for identifying target companies and contacts, and then, and this is absolutely critical, following up with the face-to-face meetings and networking events. Working only online or only through events and coffee meetings is not going to be nearly as effective as combining the two. And notice nowhere in my suggested strategy is spend all day surfing the job board. You will never hear me recommend that. In fact, while we're on that topic, let me add a little side note. If you're spending every waking hour trolling the job boards and emailing resumes, you are wasting your time and probably becoming discouraged and depressed. And if you are not currently employed, I recommend that you spend at most 2 to 3 hours a day at the computer, at least an equivalent amount of time meeting people, building human relationships, and the rest of your day, if you have been blessed right now to be unemployed, should be spent doing the things you love and that interest you. Because if you stick with that kind of time management strategy, you will be happier, you will be more positive, and that translates to a much more appealing candidate for employers. Anyone want to jump in and argue?
Oh, not argue. Agree.
We all agree.
I'd like to add something, though, if I may. This is Scott Percival. And I guess what I want to add is your computers, you get access to the Internet 24 hours a day. So if you're spending the morning trolling the job boards, you can do that administrative work after people have gone home from work. And that time during the day, during the business hours, is when you should be meeting the people that you can meet, calling the people you can call, talking to the people you can talk to.
I totally agree. And it's unfortunate, but we look at a job search as a job. We dedicate ourselves to the 40-hour-a-week commitment. We trudge through it. And, I mean, this is your life. This is not a you get to do this day over again situation. When we pick up calls from the people who are depressed, angry, and frustrated, it comes across right after hello. This is not the person you want to project.
I have another. This is Rhoda Ondov. I have another issue. I am currently employed but still looking. But every time I find an actual position, there's something the matter. Either the job goes on hold, or they picked an internal candidate, or they don't think I'm right for it, or since I've taken a kind of a downgrade in order to stay employed, they don't think I'm at the level. So I'm not sure where I should be looking anymore.
Well, first of all, bravo to you for thinking out of the box, because taking a downgrade is sometimes, I think it's usually the best thing you can do. Keeping continuity in your resume is absolutely key, but there is a ton of tire kicking going on out there. I've got a 20-year-old kid who's out waiting tables. He learned really fast from all the people he was interviewing with that they're not all hiring. A lot of them are just talking. Now he goes into an interview and he says, okay, are you really hiring?
Yes, that's what's frustrating is I get an interview and then all of a sudden the job appears to be gone onto hold because they don't have the budget or whatever.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, what's happening is, you know, this great word has gone out that all of these people are on the street looking for jobs. Well, what does that do to hiring managers? It makes them crave shopping as an experience.
Yes, that's what's happening because it just seems like some of these job searches are forever.
They're not real. They're not really hiring. They're looking to see if Moses were to land on Earth, okay, fine, I'd get rid of my guy and hire Moses. You're up against it. That's not a job you want to go for. That's totally unrealistic. Why bother wasting your time? That job's not real. You may be fabulous, but baby, you're not Moses.
Yeah, okay.
I have a question. Hi, this is Honey Guzman again. And I have a question on networking. I'm also part of the ETP network, and
I got to get into that network. That sounds fabulous.
Yeah,
we're part of it as well. I'm sure a number of us are.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Well, the person who was leading the conversation, Rod Colon, mentioned that you can't just call up a contact and just cold. Lee, you know, say, hi, how are you? By the way, can you let me know who the hiring manager is for this position and kind of abuse that that contact, in other words. But my question was, how do you politely contact a possible contact and not be direct? You know, because if you're just chit-chatting in order to be polite, I mean, you know, people nowadays, especially in the environment, the financial industry, they really don't have time for chit-chat. They really, you know, I find that they much prefer the what do you want, get to the point, but then I'm being told from another direction that in terms of networking, that's rude and people don't want that either, so I'm not sure which is the correct route.
I totally get what you're saying. For me, this falls like into a subcategory of, you know, how do you network if you hate to network? You know, here's a tip. I'm shy. Maggie, stop barfing into your drink. There's a way to network for people who don't like to network. I also think it's actually the most productive way to network for people who like to network. Here's the key. Network by helping people.
How
do you want to contact people thinking of how you can help them? You won't have to ask them to help you in return. Everyone has an automatic impulse. It's like if someone throws a ball at you, you have an automatic impulse to catch it. If you help someone, there's an automatic impulse that person's going to get to try to think how they can help you. You will not have to ask them to help you if you have done something to help them first. So your issue is not figuring out how to introduce the subject. The issue I want you to start thinking about is to figure out how you can help that person.
For some of us that are currently not working, how can we help somebody who's doing pretty well?
If you're in on this call, you have a history, you have skills, you have a track record, you've had some great jobs, and you have a reason for being where you are today. You have a lot that you can offer, but think a little bit out of the box. Let me give you an example. When you contact a recruiter, do not contact the recruiter asking, what job do you have? That's not what you're looking for. From this day forward, what you are looking for is you are going to figure out how you can help that recruiter. So instead of asking what jobs they have open, let them know that you have contacts in the banking industry. You have people who have worked under you on teams with a variety of technical backgrounds. You can help that recruiter source their positions. All they need to do is let you know what they're looking for, and you would be happy to pass that information along to the people you know. You are now a valuable source to that recruiter. When you're working with online networks, and you know, some of this does happen online now. LinkedIn allows people to send out questions to all of their network, to all of their contacts. If you have a LinkedIn page, put into your settings the questions that would be relevant to your expertise. LinkedIn will send you an email when questions come up in conversations that are relevant to your expertise, so you can offer advice and assistance to those people. You've never even met them, but you're getting your name out there as an expert and you're offering help. Do you have a blog or a forum online?
No. Well, MySpace, but it's just full of poetry.
Okay. You don't have a blog? No problem. Look for blogs where you can become active and offer advice. Offer your expertise. You're an expert in your field. Your opinions have value. Put them out there. Get your name attached. You are an expert. When you're contacting anyone in your network, think in terms of what you can offer, how you can help. A friend of mine was recently looking for a job in marketing. She was unemployed, so she offered free advice on Vega's webpage. That type of thing builds goodwill, but it also gives her another reference and a line in her resume to cover a period where she's out of work. Oh, here's another one. I'm sure you belong to some networking groups, like I belong to Women in Computing. Volunteer your time. That helps, especially if you can volunteer your time at the registration desk for some of their association events. If you're at the registration desk, you see everybody that comes in. You shake the hand of everybody that comes in. You know who your targets are going to be. That's helping. That makes you valuable to the people you want to approach. You're not asking, you're offering. That's the position you want to be in.
Thank you.
Can I interject here?
Please.
This is Scott once again. I'm also familiar with Rod Colon and the ETD network, and I do appreciate what he has to offer. You need to listen to Rod, though, because he talks about a warm, trusted network, and he talks about building the network before you need it. And a lot of people don't do that. They're out of work, and they're calling people that they haven't talked to in 3 or 4 years. You know, so things like your LinkedIn profile and your contacts, first of all, you need to probably get up to about 100. And all at least those 100 people, you should be able to call and say, hi, how you doing? And you should be able to do that periodically. And as far as getting in touch in front of somebody, one of our previous callers happened to be Sharon Hornet from the Department of Labor. And I haven't talked to her probably 3 or 4 months. But I just saw an article today that came out in New Jersey Biz regarding unemployment, and I knew I hadn't talked to her, so I just cut and pasted that article. I said, hey, Sharon, how you doing? You know, been a long time. I saw this article. I thought of you. You know, let me know what you think. You're building your own brand. You're building your own marketing tool. You know, those are things that are going to help you. You have to find ways to get in touch with people. You have to find your ways to put yourself in front of them. And finding articles on, you know, on the Internet is a good way to do it.
It is. I mean, one of my sales guys was recently, today I think, you know, the stock market was up. He was sending that article out to anybody and everybody. I mean, what good news is that? Who can't handle the good news? The idea is that you're finding something of interest to someone else. This is what you're looking for. It's not approaching people with your hand out to take. It's approaching people with your hand out to give. And it may be only just switching a mindset. You already have the tools. You just want to switch your mindset to what it is you're doing. There's tons and tons of articles and blogs out there talking about the popularity of the online network. But do you guys realize that in the last 3 months, traffic to like the big boards has increased 20%? Okay, that's cool, right? Traffic to LinkedIn has increased 174%. The way to get involved in that is not networking with a question, what can you do for me? It's getting in there and offering your expertise, your assistance, your knowledge. Then all you have to do is let people come back to you offering help. It's a switch in the mindset from the way we all, and I hate to tell you how old I am, but I've been through this a few decades now. It's a switch in the mindset on the way you approach a job search. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just your expectations of what you need to do to get the results you want. What you guys are talking about is exactly what I believe in. Get out there, get involved. The job stuff will come to you. You don't need to ask. Offer first. So everyone's charged up and ready to network, right?
Well, actually, Kim, this is Mike Krepta now, and
hey,
Maggie.
Hi, Mike.
I'd like to propose a scenario. 5 years ago, when I was downsized from AT&T, I'm telling you, I was one of the people that spent 12 to 14 hours on Monster, on Dice, on Career Builder, on New Jersey .com jobs, searching, submitting, and staring at the phone waiting for it to ring. I have since, and it hasn't been that 5 years before I learned. It was that. I've since learned that there are better ways. But for the sake of the folks that are still unsure, like just for kicks, I went into Indeed.com. I typed in project manager, New Jersey. And I see here a telecom company out of Basking Ridge looking for a services project manager. Now, 5 years ago, I would have submitted to it and waited.
Right.
Just for strategic career search purposes, can we take this scenario and let's talk about the right way I should have attacked this opportunity?
I totally love you, Mike.
I'll go out to Littman's and get the diamond ring right now.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. This is exactly what I'm talking about. It's totally the difference between what worked in 1995 versus what's going to work now. An hour before I got on the phone for this call, I was on the phone with a client in Florida helping them define their needs for a project manager. As I was on the phone, I was on my Twitter page posting the fact that I was defining the requirements for a PM job in Florida. Who wants to spend the next 6 months in a warm climate? If you guys weren't on Twitter, you will never see that job because it's never getting posted anywhere else. Huge shift in the landscape. Right now, for online networking, and as I think I said before, if I didn't stress it enough, let me stress it again. Online networking is the tool you're going to use for researching the company and the people you want to get in touch with to follow up face-to-face. Okay? Online networking is what you use for the info so you can target your time face-to-face. Do not try to get a job online. Not happening. But don't try to approach people you don't know anything about, because you've got a huge amount of information at the tip of your fingers through the online network. So for me right now, I focus on two business outlets. I use LinkedIn and I use Twitter. I'll tell you guys, but I don't tell anybody else. For personal information, to stay in touch with family, I use Facebook. But I separate my professional communications and my personal communications because I've got stupid children. And if they post a picture to my Facebook, I don't want a client to see that. My client doesn't need to see my daughter and her boyfriend's picture. So I kind of have two personalities going on. For business, it's LinkedIn and it's Twitter. I think LinkedIn is the best to look into specific companies you're interested in, to search that company and find people you're connected to, even if it's not first connection, it's second or third connection, and then ask your contact to make the introduction, and then you follow up in person. So through LinkedIn, if you want to follow up with someone you don't know, you can send someone you don't know an introduction, but that's an extra $30 a month with any, you know, to send to an email to someone you don't know. But LinkedIn is marketing to recruiters as the way to reach candidates right now. It allows employers to post jobs. It allows recruiters to search profiles, store results, and contact candidates. If you don't have a profile on LinkedIn, you are missing, you're lost. Those recruiters aren't finding you. So if I were where you were, Mike, 14 months ago, that's step one. You got lost for 14 months because you weren't a target big enough people could find.
Okay.
So even in using LinkedIn, there's certain things that will pick up the phone. Our husbands think we're interchangeable.
And we're
so
both
I'm
tall.
The nicer side of Maggie.
Okay.
All right. Well, here's one, okay? A lot of people, when they set up their LinkedIn profile, they only list one or two jobs and then they get lazy. This is a mistake because Maggie's a recruiter. I'm a recruiter. We search for people who have worked for specific companies in the past. When we have a client who's looking for a specific industry, we set up our target companies. And then we go in and we search for people who worked in those companies. If you've only listed one or two jobs, we're going to miss you. So also, people can search for former colleagues by looking for company names. So if you're looking to build your network, you want to have all the companies you've worked for in that profile if you want to be found. Okay? So here's another one. And this may seem like a drag, but job description. If you look at my profile in LinkedIn, I give you a job description of what I'm doing right now because that really helps people know on a keyword search you're going to come up. The job descriptions don't have to be like super detailed like they would be on your resume, but you want to use like action-oriented, impact-oriented descriptions. The more you put, the more likely it is you're going to come up in Maggie's search when she's searching for the right person. You guys are all out there. Maggie's looking, and you guys aren't finding each other. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Also on LinkedIn, there's a specialties section. This is where you list your key skills and areas of expertise. Can you believe most people leave this thing blank? Again, if Maggie's going in on a keyword search, this is your opportunity. You want to think like a recruiter when you fill this stuff out. When you enter your current job title, it's automatically placed right under your name. This is the first thing that's seen on your profile. So don't leave this as your title. For me, if I hadn't edited my subheading right under my picture, it would just say CEO Vega Consulting Solutions. Well, I'd like to think that means something to the universe. It doesn't. If you haven't worked for me, that doesn't mean anything to anyone. So instead, I edited it. Now what it says is CEO, IT consulting company that hires PMPs, VAs, and developers. Because if a BA is doing a keyword search, I want him to find me. Follow?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's another one. When you create your profile in LinkedIn, they will automatically assign a URL that people will access for your profile. It's usually some arbitrary numbers and letters, but you can change it to be your name. So my LinkedIn profile is Kim Shand, like without a space. It's just Kim Shand, one string. This helps if people are not in LinkedIn, but they try to Google you. If they Google you, you want them to come up with your LinkedIn profile. It's not going to come up with the arbitrary letters and numbers. Get your name out there. Modify your URL so it's your name. My profile is public. Because I don't use it for personal stuff, this is safe. If a recruiter is trying to get your profile through Google and you've set it to private because your kids send you recipes and things, switch. Put your personal stuff on another account. Use LinkedIn for professional. Set it to public. If a recruiter is trying to get to you, they're going to go through Google. They want to find you. You want them to find you. It needs to be public. This is a switch for my generation, and I know you're all a good deal younger than me. For my generation, we weren't too crazy about making anything public. This is a huge mind transition, but the change must be made. Questions? Anyone want to talk about Twitter?
I have a question. How do recruiters feel about linking with people? I'm looking at your profile. You have 23 connections on there. Is it something where you're afraid that another recruiter might see some of your contacts? Or?
Okay, for me it's a little bit tricky. We get 200 to 300 resumes every night through the job boards. Maggie, the heads our staffing team, and she and her team sludge through those resumes all day, every day. Is that a good investment for me as a CEO? No. We must cut down volume to look for quality. So for me, on both my Twitter account and my LinkedIn account, I'm very selective. Each and every one of you, if you connected me to LinkedIn, I would accept that invitation. But if I get invitations from recruiters or Lions, the LinkedIn open networkers, I'm not inclined to accept. I don't need volume. I need the one person that's going to make my client think Vega Consulting Solution walks on water. I do not need 500 people that blend into the woodwork. On Twitter in particular, that is so important. You want to connect to people who will help you. This is not an ego gratification exercise. Let me see what I can rack my numbers up to. Not the goal.
Okay.
Now, the staffing team will have more connections than I do, and they should. Because when they put out a job, they want it to go out to a whole lot of people. But still, always, always selective. When you guys are making connections, accepting invitations, or determining who you should follow on Twitter, It's about quality. It's never about quantity. I'm actions. We don't work like that, but we don't treat our people like that.
I mean, I've seen a lot of recruiters, you know, where I guess they have a membership on LinkedIn, so they can, I guess, they pay for it and they can search the resumes, search the profiles. But they seem to be reluctant to link to people. And the only thing I could come up with is the fact that, you know, you could see who their other contacts are. And
I mean,
even though
I'm
they could shut that off.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, shutting it off shuts you off. So I'm not really keen on going private on this stuff. If you're going to go out on the Internet, you're going to put a profile there, realize it's going to be public, and represent yourself accordingly. You know, I mean, I think we're all at a point where I don't need to talk to you guys about, you know, what's inappropriate and appropriate postings on your Facebook. Don't go out, take time-stamp pictures of yourself at the beach on a day you called out sick and post it to your profile. You know, like, just don't. You know, don't use URLs like Party Hardy PM.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with email addresses, Kim.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not making this stuff up.
Yeah.
This is stuff that people have done, and I've just noted it.
Yes.
Okay, like Bond, Jane Bond, not someone I want to hire.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all recognize that portion of it. Now we're just taking it to the next step in terms of being selective on who you connect to. I target, when someone wants to follow me on Twitter, I go back and I look at their page. And if there's anything that gives me a little bit of a pause, that's a deal breaker. You know, I don't refollow that person. And recruiters have learned this, and this is very important to realize. Recruiters look at your profiles. They look at how you presented yourself on these pages. It is public, it's very representative, and it's a fabulous tool beyond the resume to determine behavior. Your resume tells the recruiter what your experience is, but when they can log into LinkedIn or Twitter and see the way you communicate with others, they have a great tool to determine your professional behavior. We're at a much deeper level than we ever were before. It's fabulous for everyone unless you're using a URL like Party Hardy PM. That's why I keep my Facebook separate from my LinkedIn.
Gotcha.
So if for a new way to create a pacifier, I would have gone there. For me, when I see small, unique opportunities, I'm all in it. I think this is a unique opportunity for job seekers. I think Twitter is a great place to jump in now and grow with the product.
Well, you know, I had invitations to various
What
places.
Is the...
I've been invited to Plaxo, which I started... But then I just kind of dropped it because I figured, you know what, LinkedIn, that's where I am. That's where I have a good network.
Right.
And
same thing for me. I'm on that too, that Plaxo, but I never really used it.
I do think it's a good idea in terms of time management to pick and focus. I only use the two. Like I said, I use Twitter, I use LinkedIn. You can't be all across. I mean, someone got me into reunion.com. It drove me out of my mind. I was getting so much spam and email. I did not graduate with these people. My class was not that big. You know, I mean, you do have to select. I think LinkedIn is number one, but I do think Twitter is an up-and-coming. It's a microblogging tool. It's not like LinkedIn. My Twitter page is connected to my LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. If someone who's following me on Twitter wants more information about who I am, they're going to hit the URL that connects them to my LinkedIn. So I use the two together. Twitter is more microblogging. It allows you to follow people who might be pertinent in your job search, look at what they're talking about, what their issues are, their hot buttons, and kind of get to know them before you approach them for that face-to-face. And again, if I haven't said it enough, the online is only the prep for the face-to-face. It's not to replace the face-to-face. It's just to get you in armed for bear. So a broad LinkedIn network, info you gain from Twitter, this is what you're using to prep yourself to go for the face-to-face meeting. It's not the way you're going to get the job. It's just the way you're going to prep to get the job, right?
Good advice.
So with LinkedIn, you want to realize that everything you post, it's publicly available to everyone. For Twitter. Twitter is publicly available for everyone. So if I'm looking, like I said, I posted onto Twitter that I'm in a conference called Defining Requirements for a PM in Florida. That goes out to everyone who's following me on Twitter. So it's a real return on your investment of time in Twitter if you're careful about choosing who you follow and listen to.
That's
okay. This is Scott again. And I think the point, you do have to focus. You can't be on everything. I think your point that, you know, being on Twitter, maybe on Facebook, LinkedIn, but it's all part of your personal brand. I think you would find that the owner of Facebook is also a member of LinkedIn and vice versa. Twitter's probably on other job boards also, you know. So the owners, the people that actually create this. So just don't think LinkedIn is the do-all, end-all. It's just part of your marketing plan.
Absolutely. And again, it's just a research tool. It's just the tool that's going to give you names, information, and a way to connect to the person personally so that you're not blindly responding to an ad on the job board. I think personally, and here's where, okay, I'm out on a limb, and I know, I can tell you right now, Maggie disagrees with me. We have a big disagreement and an ongoing debate in my office on this issue. I think the job boards are dead. DOA, totally done, completely cold. There is so much, I can't think of a better, like, cleaner word than crap. So much crap on those job boards. No one wants to deal with that volume. If you're responding on the job boards, you're getting pushed into a dead database no one will look at. The only way to get to decision makers is through a connection, through a network. The online networks is a way to research who you know who can get you to who you want to know.
Hey, Kim. This is Bart Zoni.
Hey, Bart.
Hi. I'm not too familiar with Twitter. I've been hearing it come up, and I was going to go try it, but I kind of like got the impression that it's more like a IM, that messages just come from people. And is that how, or your emails come, or what? When you Twitter some job in Florida, how is it getting to people?
Okay. If you log on to Twitter and you create just a ghost profile, okay? It's just your name. That's all that's there. You're just logged on. My page is at http://twitter.com/KimShand. Okay? Now, you can go into that and see what people are saying to me. And on the occasion, what I respond. The way that that works is it's called following. You follow me, and because you're following me, you're going to see everything I'm talking about. If I'm the CIO of Dai-ichi, and Dai-ichi is a company you want to get into, you are now watching the conversations of the guy who has the ability to hire you in the company you want to get to. If Vega Consulting Solutions is the company you want to get to, which I'm sure it is, when you log into my page, you are seeing the things that I am talking about, that I am doing during the day, and that people are talking back to me about. To an extent, it is like an IM. It's very real time. Where people mess up is when they start talking about what their kids did on spring break and what they're going to make for dinner. But if you can, like, you know, if you're not in that realm, you're getting real live business issues. If you look at my page, you can see what people are talking to me about in terms of leading edge technology, updates, integrations they're having problems with, and you can hit any one of those conversations and offer advice. Your advice piques someone's interest. Ooh, all of a sudden, you're the expert they're going to.
Okay, I see. So if I guess I have to have an account on Twitter to follow anybody.
Right.
Okay, and
then
what would I set up my page?
Choose the people you're going to follow.
So I pick the people I want to follow, and then I can just kind of click on them and go over to that blog.
Exactly.
I can start one of my own if I want.
Exactly.
Okay, so maybe what I'll do is I'll just go get on and see what it's like, and maybe I'll figure out how that works well into...
It's a new tool. It's not super intuitive. It has become very viral, but it's not very intuitive, not super user-friendly. But if you get on and you've got questions, call me or tweet me.
That's what I would do.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what it's about. These networks don't replace, you know, we started talking about networking for people who hate networking. The key with these networks is they're still social. Conversation is the backbone. So if you get on Twitter and you're not sure how this is working, you need to ask me a question. You need to start a conversation with me so that I can converse back and we have a connection, and now my network is your network.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that information.
Feel free.
Yeah,
and don't hesitate to use the 800 number. I still have a toll-free number, and that's still a great supplement to the research you do on the online networks. And people tend to get lost in one or the other. They get lost in the face-to-face or phone calling, or they get lost in the online. And I think the key to 2009 is the right strategy that intersects both.
Kim, I think you're half right on Monster and Career Builder kind of being passé. You just kind of put it in a rather straight way of talking about it. Well, you know, I mean, everybody's talked about that as just a black hole, as something that's, you know, harvesting resumes, and,
totally,
you know, it's hard.
They issue the same job ads over and over that aren't real, and you
right.
get, even if you have those alerts, they alert you to the same exact jobs every day.
It is the worst waste of time, dark hole that you can walk into. And the you know what really frustrates me about this is you walk into this dark cave that's engineered to be a dark cave, and then somehow you blame yourself. What is wrong with this picture?
Well,
it's nothing about you or your skills. It's what
you're walking into. You have to ask yourself, why were they such a major advertiser at the Super Bowl? And
that's a lot of money, right?
It's a lot of money to do that. But at the same token, you know, they're going to out to each one of these companies and say, hey, look how many millions of resumes we have, and look how many people visit our site every day.
I am totally not in this industry for money. And look, I have been involved in how many recessions at this point, how many slowdowns, how many tough economies. I have never been in this for numbers. It is not the goal to hit. It is not the way you succeed. You only need one job. You need the right job. Don't go in for volume.
There's another black hole, Kim, that I find, even when I was out looking for a job. It's people posting resumes at different job sites. They go to... if you're looking for a job and you want to work at Pfizer, for example, you post your resume to a Pfizer site. What happens is when you post your resume to a Pfizer site, it's not only a black hole, but your resume becomes their proprietary information at Pfizer, J&J, any company. So let's say down the road, Mike Krepta wants, he sees Maggie, he goes, I want a job, you know, in 6 months, I saw this job, I think I'd be a great kid, I'd be a perfect fit. I cannot use your resume because your resume now belongs to Pfizer for 6 months.
You are an absolute genius, Maggie. That is so, so true. And that's one of those hidden truths that nobody knows about.
Yep.
The very worst thing you can do is hit the response button on your target company's webpage. I cannot be the only one on this call that knows human resource people do not pick up your resume when you hit the response page. And if they do pick it up, it's just to put it in a database so that they can feel that they've like worked that day. This is not
the way. And down the road, in a few months, our hiring manager will go to the HR person and say, give me some resumes from the database. They'll pull up some resumes, but they're not going to be, because HR people are looking, are just pulling up anything that says project manager.
So if you see a job that looks good on one of those company job boards, what do you do?
Your best bet is to get a good recruiter. You can give me a call and say, Maggie, do you work with X and X company?
Okay.
And if we don't, I go to Kim and I say, Kim, who do you know?
And I go to Twitter and LinkedIn and I find out who I know.
Yes, and that's how we market. We do the same thing. For example, if you call me and say, and I've done this many times for my for this networking group, where you call and we work on your resume, and I'll get ideas as to who I can cross-market you to. We do that also. Everything is about relationships. That's all it is. Having the internet and these websites has taken away the human element of what Kim has been doing for 15 years. It's taken away that. But you need it now more than ever is to give me a call, because down the road I'll say, oh, I remember Sharon, and Kim knows I rely heavily on my PM group, and you're the first source of information I go to. My PM group. I don't go on the job boards. I don't go. I said, who wants to go to Washington, D.C.? I have something for Washington, D.C. for 3 months. Who wants to go? And I'll go through my groups. I have to obviously match up your skills to what my client needs are. But
so even
that'll
if you don't
always
deal
be
with
fresh
company,
mind.
That's okay.
Excuse
I'm sorry,
me?
What?
So even if you don't deal with that particular company, you can.
We find a way.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's the same. You know, whether it's with Vega or without Vega, the idea behind the social networks is, you might not be dealing with that company, but someone who knows someone you know is dealing with that company.
Right.
So you create your connections. The network software, whether it's LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, will tell you how many connections away do you know someone in that company. The idea is to find that, get that person to make an introduction. Fine,
yeah.
Your first introduction may be online, but what you're looking for is the opportunity to go face-to-face, shake the hand, and tell them what you have to offer.
Okay, got it.
So, Kim, almost in that same train of thought, if, for example, I know who the hiring manager is, and I also know who the HR rep in the firm is, should I go above the HR rep and email?
Well, it's not above or below. It's just more direct.
If
the hiring manager needs to go through HR because that's their policy and process, once he knows he wants to hire you, he will send you through HR, and HR will put you through the appropriate process. The most important thing to you is not which steps or hoops you have to jump through. It's that you are already identified as the person they want to hire.
I've actually avoided that, thinking that, you know, I would not be following protocol, so I should not be doing that.
No way.
No. Protocol is never that stiff, and you need what you need. And you have every right to go out there and get it. You're not upsetting people. If they have a process that they need to apply to, they'll tell you. You don't need to guess that for them.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Sweetie, you're way, way, way too nice. You need to work with Maggie. Look, someone came to, and actually, Maggie, you don't know I know this. I was told this story. A young guy came to the office door yesterday. Oh. Our office is not easy to find. You can't even find us on your GPS. Our street doesn't exist. Young guy graduates college. This is a hell of a market to be graduating in with no experience. So this kid, he's got some balls, right? He figures he's going to go out and get a job. Somehow he finds Vega Consulting's office. He knocks on the door. He goes to our receptionist. The receptionist says, "How can I help you?" The kid says, "I need a job." Maggie hears this. She thinks, okay, well, I may not have a job for a kid that's straight out of school. We're a consulting company. We supply experts. But this kid deserves something for his effort. She gets up. She takes the kid. She takes him into the conference room. She gives him an hour and a half of her time reworking his resume and telling him interview tips. There's a personal connection. That kid with that drive and that initiative is going to be CEO of somethingwidget.com someday, and he has Maggie to thank for it. Your network is everything. Doing for people will always pay back. Maybe not right now. Could be 5 years, but 5 years from now, you'll know I told you this and this was right.
To be a very beneficial 2 hours was when Maggie was ripping into me about my resume. And, you know, to this day, I still have, I on my hard drive, it says, the Vega resume.
Oh.
And I read it, and I was like, wow, this turned out really good.
Mike, I come, you know, I don't know, I usually give this in my speech. I come to recruiting from IT and project management. When Kim interviewed me, I said, I don't come from a background in recruiting. And she's like, well, we're interested in you for XYZ, for your background, this and that. We need, basically, they were looking for something else, something different, and you know, to bring to the recruiting table. And so, so I was trained from scratch, and the resume part—that's all Kim. I mean, she's got an actual patented process that we follow, that no other recruiting company follows. And we have to not only from before a resume even gets to a client, references have been checked. We know who this person is because we go through a process. We are not in the business, and even in this economic climate, we just don't send paper. You know, we send quality. We only send one or two resumes, and that's what makes us very unique. And you know what? You know, things are slower than last year, but. You know what? We have a few PM spots out there open that I just posted one out this evening too. We have their positions opened. Companies are hiring. They're taking a little bit longer to hire, but they are hiring.
You just really, really need to watch the tire kickers and
mm-hmm.
look for the jobs that are seriously hiring where there's a project and a deadline attached. You know, someone was asking on this conference before, well, I've been interviewing, but it goes into forever land, and, you know, they're not really hiring, and they just want to talk to people. Yeah, this is where we are right now. But But you can discern that if you're talking about a serious project, the budget's been approved and it has a deadline, they're hiring. That's the one you want to spend time with.
Okay, Kim, I have to put the little one to bed. And Maggie and everyone, thank you so, so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
You're very welcome. You have ways to contact us, phone, email, and Twitter, LinkedIn. Feel free
to call.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys. Good night.
Take care.
Actually, Scott and Mike, this is Henry. Could you do us a favor? Could you just give us some background and some information on Maggie and the whole idea behind their company? And
Henry, I think we should start first when you started PM. I was trying to recruit you for a job. Remember?
That's right. We're still working on it.
We're still working on it.
I think that one of the things that would be helpful to everybody listening to the call would be if you guys shared all your contact information because, you know, as Maggie said, I mean, we met several years ago. I think it was 2005, if I remember
right.
correctly.
My first 6 months in recruiting.
Yeah, when I first talked to Maggie, I knew right away she was the kind of person that believed in giving back. You know, the whole discussion tonight has been giving back. And I know, of course, she said already tonight that it comes from Kim. So, you know, we should have some introduction to, you know, their company as far as contact information and stuff on the call here so that we have it for people to, you know, to make that contact with them. But I know that I haven't worked with Kim before. But again, Maggie says she learned everything from her. But I know that Maggie has helped out many members on the PM Lessons Learned group. We've had several members go to her for help, and you know, we heard a little bit about how she's helped Mike out with his resume. She's the kind of person that believes in giving, and it'll all come back to you eventually. And I think that's a big benefit to Vega Consulting is how much they've poured into this group, not only from being on the calls, but just private time on the phone with several of our members that have called them for help. And I think it's paid back for them as well. So, yeah, why don't you share your telephone number and your email address and that type of thing so that we all have that.
Sure.
And then, Kim, maybe you want to share your Twitter address again just in case somebody didn't catch it.
Okay, Kim and I are both on Twitter. You can email me for any information at mdoronco@vegaconsulting.com. It's M as in Maggie, D as in David, A-R-O-N-C-O, and at vegaconsulting.com. And Kim is kshand@vegaconsulting.com. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn also. Let's see, my phone number is 973-335-7800. Ask for Maggie. And, you know, just if you're, let me know what you're looking for. If you're looking, you know, we're basically a contract employer. We do have some contract to hire positions. But give us a call, and we'll see where we can, you know, work with your resume and see what we can do going forward. But we do have some a few PM positions available all throughout the country.
Yeah, I noticed, this is Mike, I was on your website a couple days ago. You know, Vega Consulting does post jobs, and Maggie, you actually just posted one on our Yahoo group a couple days ago and on the LinkedIn PM job.
Yeah, I didn't get any, I was so surprised that nobody actually, I did the Yahoo one for the first time, but I didn't get any responses. So then I put it back on the PM website. And I actually, I was out of the office today, and we got a new position, so I posted that one out this evening.
Oh, okay.
And actually, that one went to Scott Percival for some reason. I don't know that the posting went out there also. But, Kim, do you want to add anything to...
I think I've talked enough.
Well, I know it says this on, you know, your website that you conduct business in 28 states, and obviously I think the bulk of the callers here are from the great state of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Are they? Oh, cool.
But we do have professionals in other states, so I don't know if you want to talk about where else have a good concentration.
I actually placed somebody from who listened to the to your message to the blog, the recorded call. She actually had dialed in, and she overheard me speaking about, you know, about the difficulties of placing a telecom PM, and she was actually calling in from Florida. I actually ended up placing her a few months later out for a project at out in Florida, but she talked to me. She actually came from one of the telecoms out there, and she actually didn't agree with my version of her of hard it's being difficult to place a PM with a telecom background. and everyone's heard my speech before, but you know what? They placed her, they loved her, and she was on contract for us for a while. So we place people all throughout the country, PMs, and especially in Washington, D.C., we have always a need for a PM, a good PM out in Washington, D.C. I don't know if anyone's out there from Virginia or down south, but...
Washington is huge because we have a lot of government contracts, but we're also big in Florida because I like to travel there.
For Washington, D.C., is that something where you can still live in New Jersey and, like, travel down on the commuter trains or live down there for a few days a week?
Only if it's 5 days a week.
If it's five, okay.
Yeah, this is where the tight market becomes a real, real factor. Mm-hmm. No one's going to look, well, okay, again, strong statement, but I don't believe the vast majority of clients at this point with the competitive market are going to accept telecommuting or flexible hours. You know, they know that there are people out there. You've got to be willing to put in the time face-to-face on-site.
Yeah,
if the location doesn't work for you, then just up front say that's a no-go.
Okay.
But actually the market is very good down south in Virginia. There are jobs, a lot of good jobs out there in the federal, you know, federal government jobs. There's health care. There's a lot of good opportunities down
south. Oh, my God, insurance? I mean, Maggie,
mm-hmm.
don't you think insurance is like the strongest
yes.
vertical
mm-hmm.
we have right now?
Absolutely.
Totally. Health care and insurance. Go find jobs in that area. They've got lots of money.
Mm-hmm. They have cash.
I was thinking of maybe staying in like a hotel or something like that during the week and traveling on the weekends.
Oh, we have a lot of people who do that.
You know what? I know
yes.
a couple people who
really?
Rent a room 5 days a week.
That's
mm-hmm.
what I was thinking.
And there are people that have townhouses, and if they have a three-bedroom townhouse, they'll rent out a room for a week. And
oh,
yep.
yeah.
Definitely.
It's a big market, especially in the Reston, Virginia area.
Yes.
Yeah, so that
yes.
does work. Okay.
And getting Fed work on your resume is stellar.
Huh. Okay.
Mike knows that. Mike knows that. He took a job with the federal. He went from AT&T. Didn't you have, you still there at Picatinny, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. And you're
there
happy
you go.
There?
And what was that?
And you're happy.
Yes,
you're content?
I am.
Yeah. That's very good. That was a really good move. And it's great to have on your resume.
Well, I know somebody, this is Henry. I know somebody
mm-hmm.
a few years ago when there was the last market downturn. He had just finished working for AT&T and finished up his contract, was looking for something, and it was right after 9/11. If you remember, it was very difficult to find jobs right after that. And he ended up accepting.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project Managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.